still have begged for more.
Can you recognize that voice? There's something about a pure soprano voice. It becomes the emblem of femininity itself. It's as though it's not coming from the singer at all. And in the case of actresses Deborah Carr, Natalie Wood, and Audrey Hepburn, their singing voices in the movies came from someone else, the ghostly voice of an angel.
Why all at once my heart will fight? I only know when he...
That's Marnie Nixon, who passed away at home this past weekend. She sang that voice for those actresses, a not terribly unusual situation in the early days of voice recording. Nixon entitled her memoir in 2006, I Could Have Sung All Night, My Story. She wrote it with a ghostwriter of her own, Stephen Cole. Cole's an award-winning theater writer. He joins us in the studio today. So you're the ghost of a ghost.
I am the ghost of a ghost. But, you know, in this case, Marnie made sure that I got credit in the book because she never got credit for the films.
And she fought that, I think, for much of her life, even though she was well known among people in the theater.
Oh, yeah. Marnie was a famous concert singer, yep. Opera singer, theater singer. But in Hollywood, they said to her, if anybody ever finds out that you sang any of the songs in these movies, you'll never work in this town again. Which scared her. So during The King and I, she never told anybody, but Deborah Carr went out on a limb and told a columnist in New York that Marnie sang some of her high notes. And that started to break down the secrecy.
Did she like doing that or did she resent it?
It was a job at first. It was really, she made $400 a song for The King and I and no royalties for that best-selling soundtrack. But by the time she did West Side Story and sang for Natalie Wood, she fought a little more for – she didn't get credit, but she got a royalty because Leonard Bernstein gave her a piece of his royalty.
Uh-huh.
And she opened up a door for singers like herself and then, of course, got it for My Fair Lady also. But as far as being the secret singer, it got to a point after My Fair Lady when everybody knew about it that she thought, I could do these parts myself. Why am I doing this? And she stopped doing it.
Huh. So when she was doing West Side Story, what are the kinds of backroom sort of details? Because she was asked to do accents.
Yes. And of course, Natalie Wood wanted to do all her own singing. So they would actually go into a recording studio. Natalie Wood would sing the song with the orchestra. Everyone would say, oh, Natalie, you're so wonderful. You're so good. And then turn around and roll their eyes because she wasn't. Marnie would come in and sing the same song with the orchestra and the band would all applaud. And which made Natalie feel kind of rotten. But yeah, but Marnie, then after the film was over and Natalie sang to all her own tracks, she had to go in and post-dub every note with accents. And in fact, at one point, sings with herself in the film. If you listen to A Boy Like That and I Have a Love, Rita Moreno's dubber couldn't be there one day. She got sick, so Marnie sang with herself.
They both had colds when we were recording The Rumble. So Saul Chaplin, who was the musical director, said, well, Marnie, can you do Rita's voice? And so I said, sure. So I sort of colored my voice a little. And so then I ended up doing a duet with myself. Just a few measures there. Anita's going to get her kicks tonight. And then I'm going, tonight.
So that's from a Weekend Edition piece in 2006. It's so sad to think of her gone now because really this is such a versatile voice that could do so many things and on a dime.
Incredibly so. When she worked with Audrey Hepburn, who was much more open to it than Natalie Wood, she told me that she had to make her mouth very, very tiny so that she could get that kind of sound out because Audrey had a tiny little mouth. So she technically knew how to do everything and she knew how to protect her own voice but also just become those characters because she was a really good actress.
What was her favorite thing to do in music, in theater?
You know, she was a fabulous teacher. I have a feeling if she had to think what is my legacy, it would be that I was a great voice teacher. But she had a great ego, too, so she loved doing concerts. She was Stravinsky's favorite singer when she was 16 years old.
No kidding.
He would have her over the house, and she would learn things. She sight-read beautifully. And as an actress, I think she knew that she started out in music, but becoming an actress and knowing how to do that, I think that was something she loved a lot.
Do you think it was the fact that she was such a good teacher that made it possible for her to do this dubbing, this be this ghost, without so many complaints, aside from the obvious
she was
one.
She was also a studio singer. She was the girl who could go into the studio and do it in one take. She had worked with the Roger Wagner Chorale. She did some of those voices in St. Joan movie. She did everything that was possible. So I do think the teaching came later, but she comes from a musical family. Her mother was a teacher, so she really learned violin and then voice.
Did you write her autobiography in one take?
No. We spent 18 months together. I put her on the couch as if I was her therapist, and we had the best time. And it's interesting, now that she's gone, I'm thinking, why am I feeling even more grief than normal? And it's because I spent 18 months being Marnie Nixon. I wrote in first person, and we went back and forth, and our emails would say, I would say, love me, and she'd go, love me too.
Oh,
so
that
we were each other for a long while.
Stephen Cole, ghostwriter for Marnie Nixon's autobiography. I could have sung all night my story. She is the ghost for so many actresses singing in famous recordings in movies.
Well, I have to tell you one more thing. We wanted to call the book Audrey Hepburn Dubbed My Face, but the publisher wouldn't let us.
That was smart.
Yeah.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you.